Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. G-H-O-S-T. If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the ghost of a woman named Ethel returns and oversteps her bounds with the living. A listener recalls paranormal experiences at a restaurant they visited as a child with a whole new understanding of the undead, plus dark figures float through a bedroom late at night with no explanation at all.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Call it in and share your ghost story with us, or email us on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or actually physically send an email to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com with your audio file, and we may play it on a future episode of the program. I want to make a little note here to everyone, let our EPPs know a little something extra that I've created for them today, in addition to the EPP bonus episodes that they get to hear at ghostpodcast.com or if they're through Patreon. I'm now posting all of our episodes on the EPP site in advance. So if you are an EPP of any level, $5 and above, that's where it starts, you can now listen to episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online weeks before they are publicly released as a little extra perk for you there. So you can get some extra episodes in there. Some weeks will be more than others, but as we make them, we post them. So it's a little extra. Thank you for being an EPP over at ghostpodcast.com. So check that out. Tony and Sean with you today. And how are you doing this fine day, sir?
Oh, I am well. Not as well as you. I'm told your dad left you a souvenir.
He did. He left a lovely souvenir, some sort of a cold virus, which is what you always want to get when your parents visit. I swear to God, every time I see him, he has a cold. And then he's one of those where refusing to take cold medicine of any sort.
No, I'm not taking any medication. I'll be fine. I'll take some orange juice, get some sleep. I'm okay. That was just a fluke.
Gonna rough this out, like right when he left too. Like I finally,
Dad, you're sneezing over everything.
Gave him a Mucinex finally last 12 hours, and amazingly he didn't sneeze or cough. But I'm sure it will be viewed as divine intervention and not the medicine that I gave him. And then of course, like at the very last minute too, like when they're leaving, you know, he's hugging and kissing the kids, and it's like, you're sick. He's like,
thanks.
Oh, I'm on the back end of it.
Thanks.
That's not how
I'll
that works.
Make sure to drop the invoice in the mail from the dock, Dad. You can pay for that. Thank you.
No, I know. I don't know the last time I had a summer cold. Why is that? Why is it that in summer it's more rare to have a cold than it is in winter? What is the reasoning behind that? Do you know?
Well, I think I have absolutely no idea, but an educated guess, you go outside with the temperature in the north, where we are both from, low, and then you go into in the living room, and it is warm. And doesn't cold and not feeling so hot, with the differing in temperatures, where there is a great difference if it's 20 outside and it's 70 inside, so I guess in the summer months, the weather where your body is throughout, tell me to shut up. I really think it has. I thought there was something to that, because sometimes when it's cold and then it's hot and then it's cold and then it's hot, people get sick, right?
I think what you're trying to say is it's rougher on our immune system with the extremes in temperatures. That of course.
Thank you. That's what was.
That doesn't cause
supposed to come out of my mouth.
The cold, but I suppose makes you maybe a little more susceptible to getting it because maybe there's more stress on the immune system.
Hence the reason that you're more apt to get them in the winter months.
That was a very Wisconsin explanation you gave. It's like,
now that we both live in the South, our bodies are our immune systems are like what the hell y'all doing? What is our immune systems now speak Southern?
Yeah. And so it changes everything up. I if you did it with a northern accent, it would have been much more believable almost. Like,
what the heck are you doing there? You're supposed to be cold now on February 2nd. You're wearing shorts and flip-flops.
When you go in the inside and then the outside and then the viruses, they make love.
So I says to him,
and they make more.
You're never going to believe this. These guys, you know, where every single thing you talk about, you end with, you know, and the person you're talking, I have absolutely no idea. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad we've been educated on that now. That's.
And for those of you that have never been to Wisconsin or the Midwest, go. It's fun.
It is.
It's a lovely part of the country.
You'll get ill from my dad, guaranteed. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories online to share your ghost story with us. Let's jump over to our first story. It says, I've been listening to the podcast for about a month now and binge on it at work on my 10 to 12 hour shifts every night and hope to become an EPP member soon. Anyway, here's a story I thought you'd like from when I was 8 or 9 years old. I lived in this oldish house, maybe built in the 50s or 60s, and I started to notice weird things happening at home as far back as I can remember. There were the little things like lights turning on and off on their own and such, and an oscillating fan that you would have to pull the plunger up pretty hard to get it to turn, and you could leave the living room with it stationary and come back and find it moving back and forth. Another incident was in my parents' bedroom. They had a musical jewelry box that you would have to wind and crank in the back and put out a specific drawer to make it play music. The box had been pretty broken and wouldn't play for years and started going off on its own one night. My brother had an experience in the basement which was finished. Had a couch, TV, everything on the back wall was a boiler room and laundry room, and a third small closet door. My brother and his friend had witnessed the closet door opening on its own one night. You could always feel like someone was watching you down there. And from my own personal experience that I haven't told anyone about, that scared the shit out of me as a kid. I had just turned off the TV in my bedroom to go to bed, maybe a couple of seconds. It seemed like way longer than that I saw a faint reflection of what appeared to be an old lady sitting next to me. I looked over and I could see a small indentation on my bed where she would have been laying. I remember hearing little things like footsteps at night. Going to the bathroom in the middle of the night was terrifying as I would turn off the light and sprint back into my bedroom. We had a dog and he would stare and growl at seemingly nothing in the living room and basement. It'd be hard to get his attention back to you. I don't know how my parents found out, but it turns out the previous owner, an older lady named Ethel, if I recall correctly, had died of a heart attack in Florida. The house was in New York. My parents were told that telling Ethel to leave us alone, and this was our house now, and she did. She did not belong in this house anymore, and it's ours now, not hers. They did just that one night, gathered in the dining room with other people, I don't know, with how much tone they put into it, but authoritative nonetheless, and they said those words. This is our house now. You are not welcome here, and you are not to belong here. Ever since then, everything stopped. I've never felt like anyone was watching, and I hope she moved to a better place. Thanks for giving me this outlet to share my story where everyone else thought I was just crazy or just a kid with a big imagination. Thoughts on that?
This is now. What house did this partake at?
It was the house that they grew up in.
And she appeared when he would the Jack in the Box type toy.
There was all various appearances of different things. There's a lot of things in that story where things would happen. As far as when she would show up, it seemed kind of somewhat random as to what it would happen with. But it seems there was a lot of things going on there that were tormenting people left and right. And they just wanted it to stop.
It always seems the case to go to the history of the house.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a prior resident, so many times we hear, you know, sometimes in a joking way, in a kind way, it could be a child that had lived there in the past. And I really think it involves their personality. This person that I would suspect possibly lived there, depending upon how old this house is, and based upon their personality when they were living, is how they come back to visit the current folks. In the case of this, when this fellow was a youngster, that if there was a sense of humor where the person had when they were alive, they convey that when they come visit. If they were just an angry person, they were a sad person, they then convey that. So that's what I would like to know more of, and possibly she was coming back to see who was currently living in the house.
And it seems that she was respectful enough of their wishes of, okay, we're here now, you can hang out, but please don't freak us out. And that's the funniest thing, I think, about half of the stories that we get is, and it was one of the most shocking things, I think, to me when I first started doing the show, was the suggestion seems so simple of, just tell the ghost to stop. And I thought, well, that's not going to work. And I've learned in more cases than not, that's been the best answer anyone can get. Because I think sometimes it's overthought. And sometimes you just look at these hauntings and the ghosts on the other side, but they were people once too. And they can also, if that's what they were, and they're not assholes or ass souls, as we've called them before. That sometimes they'll just be respectful, be like, okay, I didn't realize I was making you uncomfortable. I will do my best to not be seen or heard by you. And then
what's very interesting is to think so rationally in irrational situations. Usually you are, you are scared crapless. You literally crap your pants. The hell was that? And then to immediately have your brain go into more of a rational, here's the deal. This ghost, this being that is visiting me, it may be lonely, want to make you laugh, may want to help you, may, you know, understand you're going through some stress, maybe you need a diversion, a distraction. But immediately we go, when we're fearful, we immediately think for the worst, that we have to outrun this person, that we have to run away this being. But yeah, to your point, to just be reasonable and rational and say, hi, scared the shit out of me, could you please leave? Or go away maybe Saturday, 4:15.
Yeah, the more you treat it like it's just another person, because in reality it is, they're just on the other side. In most cases, that's what you're dealing with. I think the more sensible response you're going to get. Unless you're dealing with, you know, some sort of, you know, satanic demon that's ready to eat your cat. That's a whole other conversation, though.
Cuddles, come over here now.
Exactly.
Now, come over here.
Then the polite, please leave me alone, might not be as effective.
No.
And here's something scary. Trying to find the right person for the job. Hiring people. It's difficult. To get the right person, and we just kind of throw something out there going, hey, we got an opening. You know, you can get a lot of applications of folks not remotely qualified. You got to kind of just try and sift through it, and I think this one might be okay. I think that, you know, it can be a nightmare. It really can. ZipRecruiter has redefined this process. They have interrupted that former way that we used to go down to hire people. ZipRecruiter sends the qualified candidates to you. Sends your job out, first of all, to hundreds of the web's leading job boards. They don't stop there, then. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply for the job. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. If you're someone who has to hire, if you're a business owner, if you're the person in charge of that for a business, if you're not using ZipRecruiter, it's really kind of silly. Results like this, it's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. Right now, you guys can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, G-H-O-S-T. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, ghostpodcast.com to get all the bonus episodes and advanced episodes of the program. That's a new EPP exclusive feature there. If you're an EPP of any level, you can now download advanced episodes of the show weeks before they are released publicly as an extra bonus. So the EPPs are up there and the new episodes are up there weeks before everybody else. You get to listen to them. And commercial free, might I add. So that's another extra perk there. No ads in there at ghostpodcast.com. Next story says, my story is a bit odd because it was a recent thing that happened. I met someone online who I eventually met in person. I don't want to say his real name, so I'll just say his name is Gil, like the fish from What About Bob? We had talked several times. He's an older man over the age of 60, and he dates other guys, so I didn't feel too concerned about it, about being hit on. We happened to come across each other on a website about dealing with depression. I had massive panic attacks, and we both sort of opened up to each other. He lived his entire life around Los Angeles County, and most of my family from my mom's side lived there, so we both had a ton of stuff to talk about. The one story in particular was about a restaurant called The Twin Wheel. I can't recall the exact city. I want to say it was Long Beach, but it might be wrong because I went there as a child. Must have been 10 years old when I went, but you could never forget a place like this. My older family members thought it was funny to see all the kids react because the place was completely decorated with pictures of naked women, including on the menu. I didn't care for the place because of that reason, but it was something to experience. Well, my buddy Gil happened to work there. I think he said he was in his 20s when he worked there, so likely sometime in the 70s or 80s. The reason why he worked there was his excuse to look at was to look like a straight guy, basically. And he did have a few kids, but he's totally out of the closet now. Since I went there, Gil didn't have to explain things too much. He was a cook there. He explained how it was basically a strip club when he worked there and became toned down by the time I went there in the early 90s. But the place had a ton of history behind, so there were things the workers knew. Gil was very much a Christian at the time and went to church every Sunday, and he's still the type of person who would likely pray instead of being scared and running. The place was around even before Gil was born. People used to smoke in there. So despite having a smoking or non-smoking section, one of the tables smelled like someone was smoking a cigar there, no matter how often you cleaned it. It wasn't all the time. It was at a specific time in the evening, and the workers associated it with one of their regular guests who had died. There were a few of these stories he had had there. One of them was a faucet that would turn off and on its own, and nobody cared because he or she thought it was one of the old owners who hated it when he or she wasted water. He liked the stories because he didn't feel they were a threat. He believes they were mainly good spirits. He mentioned more odd things like the smell of perfume that you can follow around the restaurant. Photos came out distorted, which they made a rule of no flash photography because of the lewd decorations and the way the waitresses were dressed. Fingerprints found in items that nobody touched, and these are things you would assume customers could have done. The only remotely scary thing was the typical hearing of footsteps. It would get cold suddenly, and some electrical stuff didn't work properly. Gil mentioned that some of the scary stuff was with actual people playing pranks as some kids would bang on doors and run off. Someone put a cat in the air vent of the restroom, and the workers wanted to debunk all the fake stuff. Plus, the building was old, so that in general can give off a creepy vibe. I had to say my favorite for last. Gil mentioned a story about a waitress who would always have a specific spot for her boyfriend. He'd always visit her, slightly out of jealousy because of where she worked, but it was charming because he would order a drink, They would share it. It was cute to me, having two straws in a drink, but apparently for years he would show up every day she worked, regardless of the weather. They planned to get married, but he was drafted, and it never happened because he never returned. One of those tragic stories. Because of their relationship, she refused to serve any customers at that exact spot her boyfriend would always be at. Time went on, and eventually she found a different job and moved on with her life, but she apparently had no interest in finding another man. It wasn't until years later when workers noticed if you placed a drink with two straws at the same spot her boyfriend used to have his drink, you could see one of the straws moving around. It became a policy, only to have a single straw per drink, but the workers would let their curiosity get the best of them. Gil even claimed that by the time he worked there, both of the straws moved. There was just no way to verify anything about the woman after such a long time. We sort of joked how she could have found another guy or may have still been alive when Gil worked there. We never ruled out the possibility that her ghost boyfriend came all the way back from the war to share a drink with her, and after she quit her job, he found another ghost chick to hang out with. I like the love story more. It's just a shame that we didn't have camera phones back then, because Gil told me it was cool to look at. Gil told me that all the workers knew about these things going on in the restaurant, but they promised not to mention anything because they figured it would scare away their customers. He had mentioned that the place went out of business sometime during the whole O.J. Simpson trial, and I guess the owner felt it would be a good idea to have the building torn down. There were mixed emotions, the historical value, and obviously those of us who enjoy the paranormal stuff. They had a good vibe with the things that went on, and Gil mentioned that most of the workers thought it was cool to trigger the things to happen because nobody got hurt doing it. They had fun with it. Even the cigar-smelling table would jokingly have an ashtray sitting on it, despite it being the non-smoking area. I never had a vibe that the place was haunted, but maybe because the place had a bunch of spirits, it seemed to be happy. Thanks for reading. Your show has made me more excited for Halloween each year. Have a great and spooky day. There you go. Creepy story, but, kind of, I guess, heartwarming in a way.
So it seems as though the patrons, more than one, because I thought this was all connected to one person, and then I thought it was her boyfriend, but it seemed to be several people that just come back and visit the club.
Notice it's men that are mainly haunting the building. That was filled with pictures of naked women.
I was waiting for the part where all of a sudden somebody made it rain, and they thought it was Ken in the back corner. He went to cash his paycheck that Thursday and got it all in singles, but no, they could find nobody that actually threw all the singles in the air. I thought that was very interesting with the straw moving. If somebody's not in on that and they don't know that that's just a thing, that'd be a really good haunted house.
Yeah, it would be. And it's a creepy vibe, just the whole story of the I'm going to show up here at work and we're going to get this nice. It's a weird thought, because when I think of the milkshake, you know, that you're sharing, you know, with the straw or the drink or whatever, I'm thinking like 1950s diner. I'm not thinking like, you know, pseudo Hooters. And then, like, there's almost an element to that of creepiness as well, where it's like, oh, you're kind of stalking your girlfriend while she's at work. And
well, what's interesting when you're in that nostalgia, oh, they're visiting, in the background, you hear Mercedes to the stage, please. Mercedes. What is happening?
Hang on, honey. We'll finish the malt later. I gotta go take my top off. Yeah, it's not quite because I like the story. I wanted to get that vibe, and I'm thinking, you know, you're sharing a drink. You go back to kind of the sock hop diner, not the actual setting of where the story took place.
A lot going on in that one.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Next letter says, hi, guys. I'm from Auburn, Alabama. Just found your show about 6 months ago and loved listening to all these stories. I've always wanted to experience something paranormal, mostly because I'm a little skeptical of ghosts, but I finally happened on a beach trip a couple of years ago. At least I think it was paranormal. To this day, I can't really figure out what I saw. I was at the beach in Florida with my boyfriend at the time and his family. We couldn't stay in the same room with each other, so I had a huge room all to myself. One night I was sleeping and I woke up wide awake. I didn't have a dream that woke me up, and I was not tired at all when I woke up, which is weird for me. When I woke up, I just suddenly had this feeling to sit up and look at the dresser. It was like an instinct at that moment. On the dresser, I saw a thin black figure just sitting there, watching in my direction. I was super calm, which, looking back, I'm surprised I was not even a little scared. I thought maybe my eyes were not yet adjusted to the dark and I just saw a shadow or something, so I rubbed my eyes and it was still there. I continued to rub my eyes to make sure I saw what I thought I saw, but again, it was still there. After a few seconds, this tall black figure stood up from the dresser and started walking towards me. I say walking, but it was more like it was floating towards me. I was still really calm and felt no fear whatsoever, as well as I could not take my eyes off this figure. When it stood up, I noticed a few more features. It was probably a little over 6 foot and pitch black with long fingers and no face. The figure just stood there, did not try to grab me, talk to me, make any noises or anything. I then grabbed my phone, and that was on the nightstand, and shined my light where I saw the figure stand, and it was suddenly gone. I'm not sure what this figure was. I don't think it was a ghost, but maybe some type of shadow person. What I thought was the weirdest and scariest part was how calm I was when this figure was walking towards me. Perhaps y'all can figure out what it could have been. I have looked up online the description of what I saw, and so far, the closest thing I've come to find was shadow people. And I would agree, shadow person is really what it does sound like. But I would just be cautious, because I think a lot of times a lot of folks jump into defining shadow people as like a specific type of ghost. And I don't think that that is the case. I think it just tends to be, it can be various types of ghosts. I think it's just however whatever you're experiencing is able to project itself at that time. A lot of folks jump into going, oh, it's evil, it's dark. I don't think so. I mean, in some cases, sure, but that's nothing reminiscent of all of the things that end up projecting themselves that way.
I think it's the brain always going for the worst. As yeah. We talked about a story a few stories ago where they just wanted to come and visit, whether they were bored, whether they were lonely, whether they were wanting to make us laugh, that the brain, specifically when you're waking up, or if you wear glasses and you don't have your glasses on, you can't see, immediately it goes to evil and fear, and clearly none of us obsess or overthink anything, specifically when it involves fear, and then they categorize it before their brain to legitimately just take it all in and then assess.
I completely agree. That's, I think, our natural reaction a lot of times. But after hearing so many stories, you have, it's like with anything. After you have more experience in whatever topic it is you're talking about, the more easy it is for the brain to be like, okay, wait a second. We don't have to go that way. We have a lot more evidence to base things on. At least that's how it is, you know, I hope for a lot of folks. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hi, my name's Christina, and I'm from Nelson, New Zealand. I just wanted to share my friend Tasha's story. Tash explained that this all started when she was a teenager, and she heard about a story where a girl about her age had gone missing. Tash didn't know this girl at all. The only connection that she had was that the girl went to one of Tash's friends' high school. And now Tash was living 6 hours away from where this girl had gone missing in Christchurch. Like a 6 hour drive. So Tash is kind of drawn into all the news articles and everything about this girl and her story, and she's really interested and she doesn't know why. She's just kind of, you know, following it all. And so she finds this girl's Facebook and she looks her up on Facebook, and she looks at her pictures and she notices that the girl's first name is the same as Tasha's middle name. She also notices that in the photos the girl's got a cell phone, and the cell phone's the same as Tasha's. And Tasha's kind of like, ah, she's got the same cell phone as me. And this was a time when it was quite common to have the same cell phone as someone else, but she still thought it. Anyway, she's at home one night, she's living with her parents, and she's got her boyfriend staying over. They're asleep, and she wakes up to a crashing upstairs, and she knows that her mum and her stepdad and her brother and sister are all asleep, and that it's not them. And it didn't sound like them either. So after this, she explains having a feeling of being held down, finding it really hard to breathe, and like a heavy weight on her chest. Right, so that feeling, I think she explained, went on for about 15 minutes or so. She eventually, the feeling stops and she's freaking out, and she wakes up her boyfriend at the time. She's like, explains what's been happening, you know, the crash and the feeling of losing her breath and feeling having something on her chest. He kind of was like, okay, maybe ring, give Nikki a text, and Nikki's a friend that's more into the ghostly type things. So Tash gets on her Facebook and she goes into her messenger and she tries to message Nikki. And now none of her messages will send. She's typing it in, but it just won't send. Like, she's clicking the send button and it just won't send. And she's like, okay, what the fuck, this is weird. So she remembers that Nikki's staying with a friend. So she goes and finds the friend on Facebook and messages her and manages to get a hold of her, and Nikki's on her way over. While Nikki's on her way over, Tash described hearing a voice tell her, I think she said, I need to use your phone, I need to use your phone, please let me use your phone, I know how to use it. And then she said, I need to text my mum. And so Tasha's like, whoa, okay, fucked up. Anyway, Nikki arrives, and Tasha's like, I think whatever it is wants to use my cell phone. And so Nikki's like, right, well, you need to tell it. You need to let it use her cell phone and tell it that it's scaring you and that it needs to go. And so at this stage, Nikki needs to use the bathroom, and she tries to go get into the bathroom. And Tasha's bathroom's the only type of, it's got a lock on it where you can only lock it from being on the inside of the room. And no one was in there. Nikki tries to get in, she's pushing at the door, and it seems like it's locked, and she's busting to go toilet. So she's like, all right, you're good, Tash, I gotta go. And so she ends up going and using a McDonald's restroom. Now Tash is there with her boyfriend, so it's all okay, and she realizes she's got to deal with the situation now. So she puts her phone down, and she, oh, actually, before this happens, Tash needs to go to the toilet now. And so Tash goes into the toilet not long after Nikki's left, and the door just opens and it's fine. So whatever it was obviously didn't like Nikki. And so Tash, anyway, back to where I was, Tash puts her phone down and she says aloud, she says, all right, you can use my phone. It's fine, I don't mind. You just need to leave after you've used it because you're scaring me. And so Tasha, she doesn't remember much else, but she must have fallen straight to sleep. So she wakes up in the morning, and she ends up finding out on the news the next day that this girl's body has been found, and that she's been found in Christchurch, and that she's been found in a forest. Now, Tash described that when she heard the sound upstairs, the initial crashing through, it sounded like someone crashing through the forest, like they were lost. Yeah, I thought that was really crazy that they actually found the girl's body after Tash let her use the phone. Obviously, she felt no need to look on this girl's Facebook or anything after it was, after the girl's body was found, so all the occurrences stopped happening. What I was wondering is whether you guys think that the girl that had gone missing, whether her mother had received a text or something that may have been caused by Tash letting the spirit use her phone. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think with something like this, there, you know, with technology and with things being able to manipulate things, the possibilities are almost endless with what can be done. We have software now. We have hardware where there's all sorts of things that can be manipulated now. We're just kind of entering the world of the way that we're asking spirits to communicate through them, and in many cases, doing quite well. So I really think anything is possible when it comes to trying to manipulate something. In terms of like hardware or software, a very realistic possibility.
I'm just waiting for somebody to have a visitor with the facial recognition on the phones,
mm-hmm.
that somehow it was their phone prior to the living person having it,
yeah.
and it just magically opens, and they have no idea because it's facial recognition, but that'll be an upcoming podcast of a story that is yet to be written or submitted, but it will, because technology, as much as we should push the Control-Alt-Delete or the brake pedal, that's not going to happen.
There's some interesting stuff now with there's some devices that ghost hunters are using that involve the Xbox, the Kinect. You know what I'm talking about? The sensor thing?
Yes.
And they're using it, and because it's essentially a 3D type camera, and it can pick up depth, and they're using it. They have some software hooked up to it. I forget exactly what they call it, but it's being used in a lot of ghost hunts, and it's picking up. Essentially, it creates stick figures on the screen because it's that's what it's searching for. It's trying to recognize body figures for if you're playing a game, but it is also sensing ghosts. Very well as well, and it's really creepy what it's able to pick up in some areas when people are getting audible interaction going on with the spirit box or things of that nature. Then suddenly on their screen, they're seeing the stick figure that's over there that the sensor is picking up on as well. Just multiple pieces of equipment totally separate from one another that all kind of verify the same thing. There's something over there that we can't see, but it is sensing. It's creepy stuff.
I now know what I'm asking for Christmas.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I think that's going to wrap up this episode of the program. If you like the show, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the EPP bonus episodes as well as advanced episodes as well. Exclusive video content, all sorts of stuff there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.